Praise the Lord. You know, I want to talk about standing tonight. How many of you ever heard someone say, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything? I don't know who said that. But I think it's about a true statement. You know, you're not going to get anything accomplished until you know how to stand and stay in your place. You know, one of the secrets of success is to learn how to stand in the place that God has put you, even when somebody else is trying to get it and circumstances are coming against you. You know, many of the patriarchs of the Word of God had to stay put where God put them. Look at Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, needing only to be still." I'm reading that from the NIV. You know, this is the children of Israel at the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming up behind them. They're all fidgety and uneasy and not knowing what to do because now they got the sea in front of them and they got the Egyptians behind them. They got nowhere to go. And the Lord tells them, stand still. In the midst of adversity, he told them, stand still. Quit fidgeting around. They were saying, "Oh man, what'd you bring us out here for?" And blah, blah, blah. They were going on and messing around, you know. And he said, stand still. And then I want you to notice that Moses prophesied. He said, the Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. Now, they had to stand still if they're going to see that come to pass. You see, they stood in position, and they had to be in position. They had to stand still in position until it was time to cross. If they hadn't have been standing in position and standing still in position, they wouldn't have been ready to cross the Red Sea when it opened up. See, he told them, stand still. Stand here. You know, I want you to realize that as you stand in position that God's ordained for you, you will experience success if you stand, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to have opposition. If you read in the Word of God, you find out that most all the people in the Word of God that stood in the position that God put them in, they faced opposition. Anybody ever notice that? I got about 14 people that noticed that, and I'm glad. See, God wants you to stand where he's got you. That's where you're going to be prosperous. That's where you're going to be successful. You know, the place that God has called you to stand is really easy to find. God's called you to stand on the promises. God has called you to stand in his will. That's easy to find. But we got to make sure that we're standing on the promises and that we're standing in his will, not what we want. You know, in the Bible, people were put in place where God called them to be. You know, think about the prophet. God told him to go down to the brook, and he went down there. And there it said he was fed. Now he had to stand where God told him to stay. He wouldn't have got fed somewhere else. And that same prophet then, he was up on a place And the Lord sent him another place to stand. And there was all kinds of stuff happened. Whirlwinds happened and commotion went on. All kinds of things took place. I'm just paraphrasing a little bit, you know, more our language. And it said the Lord wasn't in it. A lot of people get out of standing in position because they see so much happening here and there and so forth and so on, and they're not standing still where they are. It said the Lord wasn't in it, but the Lord spoke to him in a still small voice. See, God called Abraham to a certain land, and it was there that he got blessed. God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, and it was there that Moses got blessed. You know, God has a place for you. Look at your neighbor and tell him that God has a place for you. Now, in that place, when you get in that place and in position, it's there that you will experience success and you will experience the desires that you long for. Now, position, standing in position. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I'm watching people in their iPads and so forth, and I got to turn my phone off. Thank goodness it didn't go off. All right. Here we see 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers, stand. There it is again. Stand firm. What's firm mean? Unmovable. That's a good one. Thanks. Not moving. Stand firm, anchored. Let nothing move you. Nothing. Well, brother so-and-so prophesied. Well, if it's not in line with what God's told you to do, let it forget it. Let nothing move you. Nothing. I've seen people get out of the will of God because they let somebody talking move them. They let somebody tell them, wait a minute, I believe that you've missed it here. You need to get over here. Hey, unless what they're saying is something that God is saying to you, stand still, because that's the position and that's where God will meet you. Hello. You know, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that you labor in the Lord. Your labor in the Lord is not vain. God has called each of us to have a victorious life. He has called each of us to be successful. Now, he wants us to be successful, first of all, with our spiritual life. But he wants us to be successful in the natural. You ever notice that Abraham, when he followed God on the spiritual side, you notice the blessing that he got in the natural? Anybody ever notice that? Anytime that you see people standing in position in the Word of God in the spiritual realm, you will also see that they were successful and victorious in the natural realm. Getting into the right position and then maintaining that position. I've seen a lot of people get in position, but they got knocked off of their position. By opposition, by family, by friends, by so-called prophets. And somebody said, boy, you're walking heavy. Well, let me tell you what. Just because somebody calls themselves prophet Ulumajuli. By the way, I ain't nobody's name, so I won't get in no trouble. That's a word I made up. Just because somebody calls themselves a prophet is no sign they're a prophet. In fact, my dad used to say this, and I'm going to say it. My dad used to say, if you have to call yourself a prophet, you're probably not. Anybody ever heard Brother Hagin say that? I know a lot of you said in his classes. You know, I had a guy come up. He's a Raymond guy one time, years ago. Nobody ever calls me pastor. And I looked him straight in the eye and said, the title's given, but to be called pastor's earned. He didn't like that very much. But I told him anyway. You know me, I don't back off very much from anybody. You know, any position that is less than where God told you to stand is a position to be unsuccessful, both in the natural and the spiritual. Whatever position that God has you for, it's important that you stay there in that position. You know, I use athletics a lot, but it's sort of like that. In athletics, how many of you played athletics on a team? How many of you know that on certain plays, you have a assigned position? Is that correct? And if you don't get in that position or stay in that position, the play is not going to succeed. It can't succeed because it takes everybody on the team to be in their position. I mean, if you're just out of position just a little bit, you can't make the block that you need to make. If I'm the running back, and I've been back there before, and they call, nowadays it's all different for you new guys, but back then we had simple plays, you know, 24 dive, 36 cross buck. How many of you played when they had those kind of plays? Yeah, I got about three or four hands. 24 dive, I'm the two back, four is the four hole. I can't get halfway between two and four. I've got to go through four because that's where the play is set up to go. This guard here and this tackle here, they've got to turn those guys out so I can shoot through that four hole. Just being out one or two steps to this side or one or two steps to that side, I am out of position. And the quarterback turns around to hand the ball. I'm two steps over here. Now he's got to try to reach out to get me the ball. You get a fumble. How many know what I'm talking about? See, you got to be in the position. And God has everybody in position. You know, you need to stay in position on God's team. And realize you are part of the team. You can't do it all on your own. Sometimes you see in some, especially you see it in basketball more than some of the others, you'll see one guy trying to take over and do everything, win the game. There's five guys out there, and it takes all five of them. One guy can't do it by himself, unless it's a really bad other team. Now, some positions on a team are more visible than the others. running back, quarterback, wide receiver. They're visible positions. Everybody sees it. But they don't see that center and those two guards, those two tackles, and those ends out there. But without them staying in their position, none of the rest of these guys that's visible, that everybody sees, could do what they do. We had an old boy, running back. He thought that he was God's gift to football. Well, we all got together. We quarterback called his play, and we just laid down. He got obliterated. We went back to huddle, and we said, now see what you can do without us. Now let's see if we can all play together. You know, that taught him a lesson. Man, from then on, he was team player. But some people, sometimes that are not in visible positions, and God's got them there, they get upset, they want to be noticed, and they get out of position. A non-visible position that does not appear important may be more important than this visible position up here. Non-visible position of those people, and thank God for all of them, that work with all those children. That's a non-visible position. But let's, on Sunday morning, let's bring all 100 and ever how many of them, 200, how many of them are they? I don't know how many of them they are. In here with us, all the babies, all of them. And let's then begin to see how much we appreciate those non-visible positions. Come on now. Anybody getting a hold of what I'm trying to talk to you about tonight? You see, every position that God has people in is important. We work on God's team. Remember, I talked about that. I had a whole several lessons on it. Every position is important because it takes each of us staying in position, doing our job for the success of the church, for your success. It takes you staying in position. If that's where God's got you, then stay there till God puts you somewhere else. Well, but I want to do this and I want to do that. Great, praise God. I'm glad you got that desire. But if God hadn't put you there, stay where you're at. I've talked to many ministers, do it all the time, that, oh, they leave the church. They get out of this ministry and go to that ministry. Oh, man, I'm not doing much here. I want to get out here and I want to do this. And I watch them do some of that, and they never make success. Never. I mean, years gone by, I talked to Dad about this, and he said, well, some people just are not smart enough to know that God's got them in a position, and they don't want that position. They want another position, and until they learn to stay in the position God's got, wants them in, they're not going to be successful. You know, a great part of being successful is being in the right place at the right time. I don't know, years ago, the kids were still small then, and we went on a little vacation, and we went to Nashville, and we took a tour of some of the studio, one of the recording studios, and the guy there, he was talking to us, and he said, all over this town, there are people that are better than these stars, but they've never been in the right place at the right time to be discovered. You know, just do what God told you to do. I stayed in position for 6 years behind my father-in-law as associate pastor, helping him everything I did. I did manual work. I did spiritual work. We go to conventions and things, and I would see that he was, you know, involved in stuff, and I'd step up behind him and give him, you know, I'm a little younger, got some more, and I'd give him, I'd whisper stuff to him from behind him because they were in the meetings and stuff, and I'd give him information to help him. That was my position. I stayed there till God brought me to be in this position behind my dad for 31 years. Working, running the school, teaching in the school, preaching out on the weekends. And everywhere I went, I was introduced as Kenneth Hagin's son or V.E. Tipton's son-in-law. If I go down there and where he's, you know, he was in the denomination. He was a very well-known, very respected minister of the gospel on all the district committees and all kinds of stuff, you know. I stayed in those two positions. It wasn't always fun. Because I'm doing work and they're getting all the glory. I don't mean it wrong, but it's the truth. And it wasn't until 1985 when I started, and God told me to start Rhema Bible Church, that I began to be introduced as myself. As Pastor Hagin. But you know what? I would never be here if I hadn't stayed in those positions. Even when I have friends telling me, Hagin, you're missing it all. I mean, Bible college buddies. My wife will tell you that. You're pastors, you know, you're missing it, man. You need to go get your own church. They're helping you file off for 6 years. Man, 1 year is about all you need. Go get your own church. Then with dad, they say, hey, you need to get out and get your own ministry. And after I came here, I was here for a little while, everybody talking and things, and I started what I call, now you're going to find out where I get my crusade names. I started something called Living Faith Ministries, an organization. It was a triangle. Like this, had Living Faith and Ministries on the bottom of the triangle. I had bought my albums. I got my cassettes. And then I'll tell you, it's true. And I got it all ready. Spent my own money to get it done. And God said to me, are you going to do what I asked you to do, or are you going to do what you think you need to do? I had spent my own money to buy, to have those cassettes made, those albums and everything, the logos and all of that. I took it to the Kenneth Hagin Ministries, because it wasn't Rhema then, it's Kenneth Hagin. I took all that to the, down there, and I said, here's all my tapes, here's all the masters, here's everything. Never asked for a dime. Because I realized that I was getting pushed out of the position that God had me in. I had to stand in that position. Now, I talked about me, but I know you, because that way I don't have to talk about you. You wouldn't want that, would you? But you got to learn to stay in your position. It wasn't, both of those positions weren't visible positions, yet I was doing all of the leg work and all the work, and of course Lynette was helping me, and Pastor Tipton got all the glory. I mean, he had put together, he called it a barge. I don't know, it was 39 or 40 feet long. It was two pontoons, and he'd built a cabin on it, and all the youth and the church and the men and everybody used it. Well, one of my jobs was to go down there and sand. We had it in dry dock, and I had to sand those pontoons all the way down to the bare metal. They were steel pontoons. bare metal, and then I had to paint them, and I painted that whole barge and cleaned it up, made it really look nice. And man, look at this. Look at this, what Brother Tipton did for us, man. Brother Tipton didn't do nothing. Granddaddy, that's what we called him, because that's what the kids called him. He had worked as a paint and body shop man before he went into the ministry. So he had got, he gave me that big old sander and got a handle here and a handle here. And he said, this is the way you do it. Zzz, zzz, okay. Then when I got ready to put the undercoat on, the primer coat, he said, you ever paint it? No. He said, this is the way you do it. Psh, psh. I said, okay. Said, don't get any runs. If you get any runs, let it dry, sand it off, and repaint. Well, I learned how to paint. I learned how to do something. But hey, I did the work. What I'm trying to tell you is stay where you're at. Do whatever you're doing, because it may position you for your next move. And then it may be where God wants to stay. Anybody get anything out of this? You see, sometimes adversities, tests, trials may come our way, and we'll find out if we're willing to stand. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, and be strong. It's not easy to stand firm when the enemy's coming at you and when everybody's telling you that you messed up, that you shouldn't be doing this, you should be doing something else. Hello, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. See, lots of people cut and run when they feel threatened. One person said half of winning the battle is staying in the position, taking your stand. You know, some people, naturally and spiritually, they're always chasing the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Some people chase after every fad and every shortcut that comes along, both in the spiritual side and the natural side. They jump over here. Oh, man, it's happening over here. They jump over here. Oh, man, this is where I can make a big bunch of money. Let's jump over here. Well, why don't you stay where you're at? Maybe you'd make a whole lot more, because that's a fad. It's going down the right chain. You know, learn to stand. Now, the devil will manipulate you necessarily not through circumstances as he will through people sometimes. Good people that mean good, and they think they're doing good. Hello. Now, when you become successful, even in the spiritual and the natural, both, people get upset. You ever notice that people don't like people that are successful? You know, we used to play played in the intramural leagues here in Broken Arrow, and basketball and softball. And we were the most hated team. Tad played on some of those teams. Craig played on some of those teams. We were the most hated bunch because we won. Everybody was, even the refs was against us. I asked one guy one time, he said, y'all just win too much. You ever notice that people are always for the underdog rather than the successful person? How many of you ever noticed that? Yeah. See, when you're successful, you become a visible target. Especially for those that are not successful and want to be. When you're successful, standing and doing what God told you to do, you become successful. The wannabes come howling at your heels. Hey, you know, not everybody's going to get behind you. Some people try to take you down. Somebody said, be careful when they slap you on the back with one hand, make sure they don't have a knife in the other one. There's more truth to that in fiction. Some people are always busy judging somebody else and talking about somebody else rather than staying in their place that God's called them to do and doing what God called them to do because they don't feel like they're being as successful as their friend. Hey, you have to answer for you. You and God. And them and God have to answer. They don't have to answer for you. You don't have to answer for them. But I let tell you what, if you always complaining about them and so forth, and, well, they're just getting more than I'm getting. You know, sort of like kids. Siblings. Well, they got more than you. I mean, and it happens sometimes whenever somebody, they have, you know, you have kids and then later in life they have a kid and that kid gets a whole lot more than the other ones did. Well, the others begin to gripe. Well, that's not fair, you know. And that father will tell him, well, I did the best I could when you were there, but now I'm in a better position. I can do more. Hello, how many understand what I'm saying to you? You see, if you'll stay put, God'll put you somewhere and make you successful, but don't judge somebody else. Okay? Depend on God, not on your own abilities. Depend on God to make you stand. You know, I'm not going to go over, but over in Ephesians, it talks about standing. Just stand. When you've done everything you know to do, still stand. There's a time to stand strong. There's a time to resist the idea to cut and run. You don't find success by running away. I didn't say you wouldn't be tempted. I didn't say the pressure wouldn't be there. But you got to learn to stand when the temptations and the testing comes. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so that you can stand up under it. When you know where you're where God told you to be, doing what God told you to do, you will be able to make your stand. See, 2 Corinthians 2:21. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. It's him that makes us stand firm. You know, in a military unit, if you don't have a supply line that is supplying you with the ammo and the resources that are needed so that that operation can succeed, I don't care how good of fighters you got out there, they will not be successful. It takes all of these people back here that may not be visible because the battle's out here and they're back here in the supply line. You know, of course, most of y'all here don't know nothing about World War II, but in World War II, George Patton took his tank division and he took off across Europe and he outrun his supply line. He had no fuel. His tanks couldn't go nowhere. And it was bad. In fact, they formed something and called the Red Ball Express, and it was nothing but tanker trucks, choom 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 choom, going back and forth, keeping those tanks supplied with gasoline, so that they could keep fighting. But without the gasoline, I don't care how good and how many battles those tanks had won, they're not going to win another one if they don't have any fuel to move. And you see, nobody ever talks about those truck drivers driving those tankers. They talk about Patton's tanks. Hello. How many of y'all have ever read that in history? Or some of you might be old enough to remember it, or, you know. But see, as long as they had ammo and supplies, the fuel and ammo for those cannons on those tanks, they were successful. But whenever they run out of ammo and run out of fuel, they're going to get blown out of water. Hello. See, it's the same with us. When we're standing on the promises of God and in His will, and I don't care if you're part of the supply line or if you're part of the people out front, when everybody is standing firm doing their job, then we become successful. Nobody is a success by themselves. Somebody helps them to be successful. Someone said, God will not lead you anywhere that He can't keep you. Don't ever get to the point in the middle of your testing and your trials and you're standing saying, where's God? He's right there. He will help you. Stand in your place and you'll see that you'll have the grace to do what God has called you to do. And you can run your race. And at the end, you will jump and shout and sing His praise. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. That's just a little something that rose up on the inside of me, and I just said it. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Did you get anything out of this tonight? I just want to encourage you to stand. Wherever you're at, stand. Just, hey, dig your feet in and stand. Don't let anything push you away. All right? Heavenly Father, minister to the people tonight. Father, help them to get a hold of the things that we've said to them. And may they take them to heart and use them for their advantage. Father, help us all to realize that if we're going to be successful in either natural or spiritual, we've got to stand where you have us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord.